There are 7 books on loyalty and disloyalty, which is very important for you to have. I want to share a little about those who forget. Those who forget. Now, when you are building a church, you must lay measures to protect the church you are building. Anyone who builds a church and doesn't expect the church to be attacked, does not understand church work, what you are doing will be attacked. And what you are trying to accomplish, the enemy will not sit down quietly as you try to take away his members and his captives. So you will be his target. And all that you are building, he will try to undo. There are 7 people who will be sent to undo what you are doing. They're those who are disloyal. And I've written a book for each of these people. Those who are disloyal. Those who leave you. People who leave the church can be some of the most destructive people. If you can remember any of the people who've ever left you. You know, if you want to see how destructive somebody leaving you is, even without the person saying anything, the best is to look at some minister whom you know well, whose wife leaves him. That's the best way to understand those who leave you. I'm sure you can think of some famous pastors whose wives have left. And I know, you know, in ministry, many of the problems in the ministry of in marriages are from the women, not from the men. It's different in secular marriages. Unbelievers, the problems are mostly from the men. You get it? But when you become a Christian, the balance of power shifts. And especially when you become a minister, the balance of power shifts completely. I will explain. It's like lions and elephants fight. Normally, a lion cannot kill an elephant. Normally. And in the day, lions see, but elephants also see. But when evening falls and darkness falls, the lions can see. The elephants cannot see. The balance of power shifts. And that is where you will see a pack of lions able to take down a huge elephant and eat it for 3 weeks. Because the balance of power moves. Why do I say the balance of power moves? When you are a minister, you are trying to serve the Lord. Usually, if you are really a genuine minister, you may be determined never to be divorced. Never to sleep with anybody who is not your wife. And you may be very, very determined to also have a good marriage, because this is sort of like part of the work. Which is different from being, let's say, a lawyer or a doctor. You don't have to have a good marriage. But if you are a pastor, it's also part of the package. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, your hands are tied. Because a lot of measures that you may take easily or nonsense that you may not accept, you are forced to accept. Because you can't go anywhere. Because if you go, you are destroying your own work. But if you were a carpenter, when you leave your wife, it doesn't affect your work. You can still make coffins and you can still make furniture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So the balance of power shifts when you become a minister. You find out that you can't easily say, hey, out. I've changed my mind. Bring another person. You can't. You are stuck. And you can easily find yourself almost powerless with a bad situation. And also, that's, I'm just explaining the philosophy of how the mechanics of how it happens. And then also, you find that many ministers, when they are marrying, even if they married a good person, right, at a certain stage of your life and your ministry, you cannot even know what you will become. And as you go on, then it develops. Then you realize that you have married somebody who is not good for ministry. What are you going to do? You have to carry it. You bought a suitcase that is not good. You have to carry it. There are no wheels. You bought a suitcase that is not good. You have to carry it. That's the one you bought. And it's going to be with you throughout your journey. Yes. Are you there or you are going home? Yes. So, many people don't realize that in ministry, what do you call it? The balance of power shifts. So, in my experiences, I've seen ministers being told, God has blessed me with privilege. I can't mention names, but I've encountered and had personal long discussions with very high profile ministers. And when they describe what they are experiencing, it's almost the same. And it's amazing. One wife said to her husband, I'll finish you. I will finish you, and I'm finishing you. More than one. I've heard them say those things. And when they are leaving, they say, I'm leaving you. And I've seen pastors beg their wives not to leave. But they leave. One wife, I begged her, I said, don't leave. She said, I'm leaving. She said, it must be announced this Sunday that I've left. I will destroy you. But you see, as a lady, you may not know. You may find it strange. But it's because your husband is not a good husband. If you are married a good husband, you will see how you may change. Yes. When he's good, you see, you realize that he's so good, he'll never do this, he'll never do this, he'll never do this, he'll never do this. That is when they become bad. Because you never do anything bad. No matter what you do, you will not react. Yes. So that is when they go completely haywire. Oh, yes. Yes. Many pastors are struggling with their marriages. Don't be deceived by these pictures that they take. You see, the husband will then the wife will be here, and they will be holding hands. Don't be deceived by those pictures. It's just a picture. It's just a picture. Yeah. Hey. But crossover into the church world, where the man is married, the lady is married to somebody who's not a serious Christian. You see humble women. Hey, prayerful. The scripture they are reading is that the husband will be won over by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. These are the scriptures they are studying. You see them come and show you lab tests for sexually transmitted disease. I found this lab test in my husband's pocket. Lab test. Sexually transmitted. He's testing for sexually transmitted. You see them humble, praying when he comes home, serving. Because he doesn't mind. He doesn't. No. I have girls. He's free. You need him to stay. So they become very humble. Oh, are you a new pastor? I'm asking whether you are a new pastor. I've been a pastor for some time. You see them humble, prayerful. Yes. The ones who are married to this, what we call A1 husbands. Yes. You see, they change so much. So this is something, when I see women who are not, don't have good husbands, I just say in my head that if you had a good husband, you may become the beast. So take this bad one as it is and just humble yourself and pray about it. Yes. Anyway, this is just by the way. This is by the way. But it encourages pastors. You know, pastors feel so shy of their marriages. They are not real. You know, and they feel so shy. They say, oh, I cannot go and say this. Hey, what is this? I cannot say it. I cannot say what is happening. Somebody cannot believe what I'm experiencing. Like when Saul was throwing a javelin at David. David ran and said, can you believe? As I'm playing, the harp, the Lord is my shepherd. Then they throw, at the torch. It's not easy in the house. It's like it's personal. You see what is happening? Hey! I can't say what's happening in the house. Spears, arrows. I'll be singing, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey! Wow! Huh. Yeah. It's true. So I don't know how I got into all that, but those who leave you, yes. When she leaves, people will ask the question, there must be something wrong with this man for this beautiful, gentle lady to leave him. There must be something. What is going on? Is the other question. What is going on? Yes, there must be something really wrong with this man. Yeah. An example, when Benny Hinn's wife left him, he found out in the morning he was having his quiet time. He found out his wife has said that she's filed divorce on the news. And all his financial support went. You know, white people, they are not forgiving about certain things. Oh, they just, you know. It's true. Yes. The day I saw Benny Hinn checking into the plane as an ordinary passenger, I felt not feeling well. I didn't feel happy. No. He's now no more on TBN. He's no more on TV. He's off. Announced it. His birthday was, I think, yesterday. He's no more. He's asking for help. Yes. Yes. When somebody leaves you, the person doesn't even have to say anything. It has a certain effect. That's why there are pastors, especially if the person is close to you or even maybe an important person in the church, maybe a senior member or a businessman or somebody significant or somebody important, an opinion leader, and the person goes away. Hey! When they ask the person a question, so what? Why did you leave? You say, oh, you know something? I don't want to talk about. Just saying I don't want to talk about. But it's like he has said, it's as if he has even poured vomit over you. And you say, you know, out of the respect I have for men of God, I don't want to open my mouth. I just want to leave it to God. I want to leave it to God. Then the person will make just a proverb may say a proverb or a parable. Those Who Leave You is the biggest of my loyalty books. This one. If you take your time to read it, you will see. It's not a small thing. People who leave, they just say Proverbs. Say, when a crocodile comes from under the water and says that there is a snake there, you have to believe him. This is all I want to say. I have nothing else to say about the church that I came from. I have nothing further to say. Mr. Crocodile, this is Reverend Dr. Crocodile, this is what he is saying now. Yes. And you see, a lot of people don't understand loyalty and don't take the time to understand the mechanics of loyalty. And as a subject like this, Those Who Leave You, is one of the very important things for pastors to understand. You see, sometimes, you see, yesterday I kept on emphasizing to the people, do not leave. Because as they leave, you see, one person going out can make the whole crowd leave the crusade. I've had several crusades. I know what I'm saying. As the person is going, somebody whose hand is lifted, he turns around, he sees people going and says, why have I lifted my hand? People are going, it's time to go. Then you go, then you move the other. Then it's before snowballing. Everybody is leaving. Everybody will leave. Just by one person going. You don't understand when people are leaving. Yes. It's a spirit. And when you read this book, you see the things they do. They have particular things. If your church is here and they leave, they will not go far from here when they are starting a church. It will be near you somehow. Near. It's standard. When you read and it's in the Bible, you will see. When Jeroboam left, and the things they did, the same. All the same. And it is to say, this was when Jeroboam was a very terrible person who happened to Israel. He came and built altars in Dan and Bethel. Do not go to Jerusalem. He said, you might as well come here. It's not necessary to go all the way there. I'm here. And it means I'm as good as what is there. So when a person leaves you and goes just nearby, sets up camp there, what he's saying is that it's just as good as what is there. So there's no need for you to go there because I'm here now. And you all know when I was the assistant pastor that when I preached, it was always better than when he preached. You know it. And now I'm here. I'm not far. And then when they start churches, if your church is called Power Dynamics Triumphant Ministry, theirs will be called Supernatural Power Dynamics Ministry. Incorporated with a similar name. When you are new in the church, these topics, you don't understand what it is about because you are new. Yes. When you are young and we are praying for the sick, you will not understand it. Because many diseases come because of your age. You see, when you come to me as a doctor and you say, I've got a pain here, I'll ask you, how old are you, please? You see, when you say I'm 21, I say, it's just your skin. It's. When you mention another age, you say, where is the pain? When you mention, say, where is the pain? And when did it come? And what does it do? Really? We need to do it. Quickly, let's do your age.
child will say, my knee?
Look, I remember one of my pastors said, my knee? My knee? Everybody has a knee. It was a cancer. He's dead. Yeah. It was just. By the age. So there are things. It's only because you are a new pastor or you are not advanced down the road in pastoral work that such a thing. When I say, you say, what is it? What is he talking about? What are these books? It's, you are new. You just came. Yes. You are welcome. You are what we call JJC. Johnny just come. Johnny just come. So, you wouldn't know. This morning, somebody was just telling me, look at Benny Hinn on the Facebook. This morning, telling me he wasn't looking well. He said, he says, no more on TBN. I said, oh. And he said, also on this channel. I said, oh. And I said, what was he? He said, was asking for money. I said, oh. Very, very big anointing. Oh. Those who leave you. Study it. Learn it. Learn about it. And work to be with people who do not leave you. Look, by God's grace, I teach my people, I say, look, I will be at your funeral or you will be at my funeral. These are the only way we will say goodbye to each other. Whilst we are in the church, I will attend your funeral, and or if not that I will attend, I organize your funeral or you will organize mine. This is the only way we will say goodbye. There's no other way we will say goodbye. You've left me. You are angry. You've gone here. You now don't talk. I don't talk to you. You don't talk to me. You are angry. We are about this. No. Learn to teach people. Look, in this book, The Mega Church. Where is The Mega Church? I teach here. One of the chapters is how you can have permanent members. Yes. Chapter 11. How to have permanent church members. Which is different from chapter 9, how to develop devoted members. A devoted member is a little different. It's also a good thing, but it's different from a permanent member. I used to teach in my church all the time. Permanent. Why you should be permanent and how to be permanent. That is the way ministry is done. Ministry is also largely a family at work. A family. And a family, you don't leave your family. You don't leave your family. Your family, you don't leave. Even no matter what happens, your family is your family. It's like, Charlie, you are my family, man. Even though I don't really like the way you are in prison, you are disgracing us. You are my family. You are my family, and I have to keep you as my family. Not that I have to keep you. You are my family. So you can teach your church members how to be. And that's why this book, when you talk about the mega church, how to have permanent church members. Permanent. Many of us are not permanent. We are not permanent. The pastor doesn't know when he won't see you. He may not see you this week. He may see you next week. Then the week after, he may not see you. He doesn't know whether you have left or you are angry. You have to teach people not to get angry. And teach people that when they get angry, it doesn't mean they have to leave. And pastors also to stay in the same church and in the same group and in the same fellowship and in the same ministry all their lives. You can teach it. And you see, because we keep on jumping out, we can't grow big. And when you are not big, there are many things you can't do. You just can't do them. Because you are too small to do certain things. Are you there? So, these books are very incredibly important for those who understand the work we are doing. I was just introducing, I don't know how can we got into all that, please. Let's not forget what we are doing. What are we doing? Those who leave you, isn't it? Those who forget. But where's my those who leave you? It's supposed to be here. It's missing. Right. I was just explaining to you that when you are building a church, there are people who spoil what you are building. Those who are disloyal, those who leave you. That's where I got to. Those who pretend. Those who pretend. Look. Hypocrite is the word actor. He's an actor. Do you know that some of the people who act in the film, they are not strong at all? Like you see them killing people. They are not in real life. They, even their wives can beat them. Yes. You see them shooting, killing, fighting, carrying coffins on there. With so many things. Nothing is real. Nothing is real. Recently I saw Denzel Washington. He was a killer. He does so many people die. I said, hey, when did this man learn how to do this? I realized that nothing is real in what they are doing. It's their actors. And it's this word hypocrisy or Hippocrates, an actor. And you must learn to unmask actors and say, hey, you don't know how to shoot. Stop pretending you are shooting. We have a lot of actors in church. Yeah, they act loyal, but they are not loyal. They act like they are permanent, but they are not permanent. They act like they love you, but they don't love you. That's why I don't like people carrying my Bible. You see, some people want to come carry your Bible, walking behind you humbly. Say, hey, give me my thing. I'm a young man. I can carry my own Bible. Don't need to be acting as though you are so humble and so loyal and so whatever to the man of God. I want to carry it. Come on, grow up quickly. I don't need all those acting around me. Yes. Sometimes you see people say, why are you acting so humble? So, oh, hello, sir. I said, is that how you behave at home? Especially some of the ladies. You see, they go, oh, Bishop. I said, hey, is this how you talk to your husband at home? Hello, my darling. Do you say darling? When was the last time you said darling in the house? It's all acting. And you need to learn to unmask them. You see the ladies. I mean, you see the person with long hair. Tomorrow it's short. The next day it's long. It's like, how the hair grows. It goes up. It comes shorter. It gets longer. It gets shorter. It's not real hair. It's not their hair. Oh, it's a mask. You see them smiling, taking pictures. The person is a very angry and bitter woman. But when it comes to pictures, you can't believe the character. Yes. You can't believe the character. Bitter. Hey. Amazing. So, you must learn to unmask. And that is why in this book, Those Who Pretend, we show you the signs of a pretender. And when you have a pretender near you, you have what I call death near you. Yes, death. I'll give you, when you read this book, you will see the story of one of the most fantastic pretenders called Hushai the Archite. Hushai the Archite. Hushai, if you can remember, you know another person better called Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the advisor of David. But when David was going, Hushai the Archite said, I'm going with you because I'm loyal to you. Even this trouble, I'll stay with you. David said, no. Stay here and fight for me as an inner spy. So Hushai the Archite was called for his advice. And Hushai the Archite pretended, wow, to David. Every advice Ahithophel gave, Hushai gave the opposite. Knowing exactly how David was moving, he pretended to be loyal to Absalom. That was Absalom's death. It was the presence of Hushai that ended his life. Hushai gave him several pieces of advice. Don't do this. He said, look, David is a very dangerous person. You know him. He's like a bear who has been robbed of her whelps. If you go to him now, he will kill you. And David was weak and running, and he wanted David to go and become stronger. So he said, hey, you know your, he said, you know your father. He's a very dangerous man. He's like a bear. When he's Absalom, yes, he's like a bear. But Ahithophel said, let's go now. This is the moment to finish David. Hushai said, no, he's very dangerous. You know, he killed Goliath. He killed him. He's the most dangerous person to attack in the night. Wow. Hushai said, you have to lead the battle yourself. You see, like how your father led the battle. You have to go yourself. Ahithophel said, you stay. I will take 10,000 men tonight. I'm going to finish David. I'll come back. You stay here. You are the king. And we are protecting you. Let me go. Hushai said, no. You see how your father became famous? He went to battle himself. This is how a leader. Look, everything was acting. It was all acting. I tell you, when you have an actor by you, you are in danger. When you have a pretender near you, your death is near. Your ministry is about to end. Because the person is not real. It's not real. And you have to learn to unmask them and see the picture of the person who is not faithful to you. Yeah. You see, the people don't know. And you think that loyalty is just one little topic. But it is many, many things that we have to learn. And some of you are good pretenders yourselves. Oh, very good. Your pastor didn't know you were leaving till the day you brought your resignation letter. He was shocked. Your letter had only one sentence. I have resigned from your organization. Signed. What? But you're my administrator. Your pastor became a stammerer that afternoon when you presented it. You could not believe. But you were at the meeting yesterday. We had this discussion. But we were part of whatever. Are we not moving? Couldn't believe it. You are just like Judas. Judas was going to leave. Nobody knew he was leaving. The disciples were asking, so who is it? Who is it going to be? Is it Thomas? Is it Peter? Is it Matthew? Is it Andrew? Is it this? Nobody knew. Judas was a perfect pretender. Yeah. Handling the finances. Oh Lord, the poor, we have to sort this house. I'm always moving. That's why I always tell ashes and people who are always doing odd jobs, sit down and listen or you will backslide. These people who are always walking around goes, oh, I have something to do. That is how Judas was. Oh, I have something to do tonight. I'm going to get something. I'm going to come. And then they never sit down in their service and listen and get blessed. Very dangerous lifestyle. Yeah. Those who pretend. Yes. Learn it. Study it. Let God bless you and raise you up in the ministry. Then we have those who are ignorant. We call it aluta in Ghana. I don't know what you call it here. Like toy toy. Toy toy. It's done by uneducated people. Those who are ignorant. Yes. And you see them shouting. We are not going to sit down. We are not going to sit down for them to cheat us again. We not going to let them cheat us again. Cheating is over. We are here now. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time. The struggle is over. It's our time. But when you come into power, you realize that it's not as you thought. You cannot even build houses. You would have thought that all the shacks and slums would disappear. When you get all the money and all the gold and all the farms, in Zimbabwe, they are giving all the farms back to the people. All the farms have turned into forests. I tell you, that's 10 because you see, it's not as those who are ignorant, it's not as simple as it looks to be the pastor of a church or sitting in the plane and doing certain things. It's not as it looks. You may chant, you may sing, you may say, we no go sit down. It's our time. It's now time for the black man, for the blue man, for the red man. We are no go sit down again. But when you come in, you realize that finance and economic planning is not as you thought. It's not Zaminami singing songs and chanting. Many disloyal people are uneducated people. The more uneducated, the more disloyal. That's why I like working with graduates. Graduates from the university. Almost every pastor in my system is a graduate from the university. Or if you are not a graduate, you cannot easily become a pastor. You can, but not so easily. I need you to be educated in anything. My singers, they are educated. She's been to university 4 years. University. Everybody around me, they are doctors, they are this. When you have a certain higher education, you realize that it's not as simple as it looks. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. We no go sit down again. It's our time. See them all over Africa. I'm not able to do. And it's the same thing in the church. The more uneducated, why is the pastor sitting in the front there? Why should he have bottles of water sitting by? Who does he think he is drinking water whilst we are listening to the word of God? Who does he think he is? Is he a president? Why does he feel? Why does he feel so good? Look at his wife. The way his wife walks in and says, I hear her shoes are from Singapore. I hear that she's doing this. Why does she wear this? What is she doing there? Why does he speak about his wife? Why does he? Hey! I remember one pastor. He got up and he said, he said, why is it that it's only the senior pastor's tapes? Those days we used to have tapes. When you preach, you buy tapes. He said, why is it that the senior pastor's tapes are the ones that are being sold in the church? The rest of us are also pastors, and when we preach, it's also the word of God. And if it's the word of God, it should also be on the tape. And if it's on the tape, other people should also buy. Why should it be only his? It's not the only man of God. It's not the only man of God in this church. Yeah. And he broke away. And he went and started a church. Actually, he stole a whole branch. He went to those pastors at a branch, like you have this church, maybe you have another branch of this same church in another area, the same name. He went, took over the church. He spoke to the assistant pastors and he told them, said, look, examiner, we are not going to sit down anymore. We are all men of God. So when they agreed and they all broke away, I went to the church and I said to him, you have stolen somebody's church. He said, no. God is with me. God has brought me here. And then when we were going, he said, come and look at something. Yeah. And we went out. And he took me to a brand new BMW, black. Brand new with rubbers and everything on. And he said, look, when somebody heard me singing, Examinam, and saying we are not going to sit down for this pastor to lord it over us and dominate us, he said, at last, somebody is standing up for what is right. And he bought this new black BMW to confirm. And bless me. And he said to me, these are his exact words. He looked, he pointed at, is this not God? Is this not God? And I was looking at him, is this not God? I said, it is not God. BMW is not God. I thought this BMW is God's word before. I said, is this not God? Yes. So anyway, he started. Then he said to me, in our church, it's not only my messages. He was now the senior pastor. All of us. So everybody's messages are now produced and sold. And it was like, it's like a committee, like we are all one. He has empowered the masses of pastors. Wow. So one day he went and he got himself into some problem with some ladies. And the empowered pastors called him, said, come here, come here. They called their senior pastor, come here. What do you mean? How do you do this and that? Out. They threw him out like a branch that was broken off a tree. Out. In 1 second, he was gone. And he started to wander. The last I heard of him, his wife has left him. He's wandering as a beggar in the ministry. Yeah. The same person will say, is this not God? God is not a BMW. Rising up to bring up the masses is something that is done by those who are ignorant. Yeah. So these people, they spoil churches. And then we have those who are dangerous sons. Yesterday I spoke a little about that. Those who are dangerous sons. And then those who accuse you. Accusers. Wow. These are the people who spoil churches. Amen. Are you listening to me? These are the people who spoil churches. So I want us all, if you want to really be involved in church work, that's why I said this conference is for people who are involved in building the church. If you are not into church work, you wouldn't want to be here because it's not about finances or prosperity per se. Although it brings prosperity because seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. If we were not prosperous, we couldn't come to South Africa to have crusades. Yes. With all these tracts and books that we are giving to you virtually at no cost. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray for a moment before we continue. I want you to listen. How many of us realize that some of us have been this before? Raise your hand. You have been those who are disloyal, those who leave, those who pretend. Let us, you see, it is not easy to make people do what you have not been and what you are not. And that is what takes away the power from leadership. Because you yourself are a total breakaway rebel. And everybody has seen your rebellion and have learned from you You have even been an inspirer of rebels. Many people have learned, like I said, those who leave you, you've inspired others to also leave you. And so let us pray for just 2 minutes. Lord, take away that thing from me. I am sorry. I am turning around. And I want you to strengthen me so that I will be completely the opposite of these things, so that I can build a stable church. Lift your hands for a moment and speak to the Lord.
Lift your hands and pray. Wow. Pray that God will touch your hearts to understand how a church is built and what you must become. Let's pray. We are understanding that church is not just preaching on Sunday. It's deeper. It's deeper. And in this conference, God is taking us deeper. God is taking us deeper. 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 Oh yes. Yes. The deeper you go, the higher. Many of us are beginning to understand the complexity of the ministry. Lord, keep us faithful, loyal. Come I and deepen my understanding. Rainbow speaker, dele bebe kaposha. Nimbre kosin dele ma de monda le malaba san dele kabrosika. Lama, if it is possible to lift your hands to heaven, it's a sign that Lord, I surrender my ministry, my calling. You called me, and I lift it up to you right now. Pray. Masune lema kabrasike le mosan dele ma. Rema baba ba. The church, the church, the church. The church, the church, the church, the church. The church, we are praying, Lord. Our understanding to be deeper. Yes, our understanding to be deeper. Rendus iman debramo samayande. Le tebrosa, le kalibosi. Ramazin de moya, le kababasa. Le morobosi, neliman debredesi. Something is happening to your ministry. I tell you, as you sit at the feet of God's servant receiving seats, something is happening. New things are happening. New dimensions, new depths, new heights. Shalibose, kadele mora, likini mosi. The church, the church, the church, the church. The church, we are praying, Lord. Our understanding to be deeper. Yes, our understanding to be deeper. Rendus iman debramo samayande. Le tebrosa, le kalibose. Ramazin de moya, de kababasa. Le morobosi, neliman debredesi, manginima kandala baba. Something is happening to your ministry. I tell you, as you sit at the feet of God's servant receiving seats, something is happening. New things are happening. New dimensions. New depths. New heights. Shalibose kadele mora, likini mosi mande malabada. Remarabashe delele mose dele mose. Mande mori mosa. Le mandala baba san delele mese delele brose. Remandala basa. Yes, pray from your heart. Speak to God. New depths. New heights. Shalibose kadele mora. Likini mosi mande malabada. Remarabashe delele mose dele mose. Mande mori mosa. Le Remandala babasan delele mesin delele brosi. Remandala basa. Yes, pray from your heart. Speak to God. Speak to God. Water the seeds we have heard. You have heard this morning with prayer. With prayer. Mankele bosin remandala bababa. Oh yes, yes, yes. Our understanding of the ministry is deepening, 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 deepening. There's nothing superficial about our call anymore. There's nothing superficial about our call anymore. I believe that God is lifting up ministers. No. There's nothing superficial about our call anymore. I believe that God is lifting up ministers. God is raising ministers. Your level is changing. Your size is changing. Your stature is changing. Yes. Yes. Tamante boribo samaya. Rende breboka. Similimondebe. Similimondebe. Sambrimosa, Shikirimosa Mama, Le Mama ya Delelebosa, Kapa, 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 Le Mazin Delelebosim Rimosinde, Re Mama Zinda Limosa, Le Ma Debe Kibos, Simirimosa, Le Mayan De, La Mama Sata La Baba. Mama said, Jeremy, Shaman de Kalimosa, Le Mama Sandala Kaba, Ramakaba, 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 Shemi Lobose, Lembra Dasti Kirimosa, Malibosa, Rama Sande de Bebe, Rama Shakata, yes, yes, Samayande. Le Tebrosa, Le Kalimosi, Ramazin de Moya, Le Kababasa, Le Morobosi, Neliman de Mredesima, Nelimakan Dalababa. Now something is happening to your ministry, I tell you. As you sit at the feet of God's servant receiving seats, something is happening. New things are happening. New dimensions. New depths. New heights. Shalimose Kadele Mora. Likirimosi Mande Malabada. Remarabashe Delebose Delebose. Mande Morimosa. Le Mandala Baba San Delebese Delebrose. Remandala Basa. Yes. Pray from your heart. Speak to God. Speak to God. Water the seeds we have heard. You have heard this morning with prayer. With prayer. Mankele bosin remandala bababa. Rendelelelele bosin. Not only for us to even teach it, but to correct things in our lives, in our ministries. Because, you see, as he said, some of us have already broken away. You yourself, you are a pretender. You've not taken time to even understand things yourself. But you see, there's a piece of good news I have for you this morning. And it is what Jesus himself said. He said, either make the tree good, and then its fruits will be good. Some of us, by the very nature of how you have lived your life, you cannot have a good ministry. You cannot bring forth good fruits. By the very nature of the foundation of your church, your ministry, how you are, the things you've done to people who raise you up, you cannot. But Jesus brings us hope this morning that the tree, even if it's a bad tree, can be made good. So you can change things by eating and soaking in these very powerful words. And we want to lift up our hands right now and say, Lord, make my ministry good again. The ministry of it will be good. My branches will be good. My pastors will be good. My leaders will be good. Have mercy on my ministry. Have mercy on me. Pray.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10.
Wow.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work of labor, your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. Most of us are aware of the four big sins: lying, stealing, cheating, smoking, drinking, etc. But we are not aware of the sin which is one of the most profound sins, the sin of five evils that befall people who forget. When you commit this sin of unrighteousness, of forgetting, five evils are likely to befall you. And you don't even need to write any notes. All you need to do is to have this book, which we are making available with all the others in the Macarius, if you are registered, if you register. And to register means you have to register with your name and your address or WhatsApp number or whatever you have so that we can communicate with you. And that is the registration. And then you will be offered the Macarius registration package, which will be this at an unbelievable price of only $50 for 40 books, which means one book is $1.
No.
I mean, that is, there's no book like that in the world. Amen. Five evils. One is demotion. Constant demotion.
Wow.
Comes to people who don't remember things. Think about some of you here would have been doctors, but when you could not remember digestive enzymes, when they ask you what are the digestive enzymes, you couldn't remember anything. You said glucose is a digestive enzyme, carbohydrate is a digestive enzyme. You couldn't remember anything in the exam. So obviously, you couldn't do science. Some of you would have been economists, but you couldn't remember when you did geography. You couldn't remember what the longest river in the world was, the highest mountain. You were mentioning Mount Cape Town. Table Mountain is the highest mountain in the world. Table Mountain. Wow.
Wow.
So people who forget are constantly demoted.
Wow.
Amen. And so it applies to spiritual things as well. People who demote, who don't remember, are constantly losing their place and going lower in society and in spiritual things. You are going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower.
Teaching.
Yeah. Look, for me to be a doctor, I had to remember so many things in so many examinations. Oh, parasites, I learned about flies, all kinds of flies, the number of eggs they lay per second, the speed at which they fly, the angle at which they dive into the water, the blood vessels, the diameter of the common bile duct, and diameter of this, diameter of that, measurements of so many things. When you have anemia, the measurement, when you have leukemia, the measurement, when you have different diseases, have to know the values of things, protein in the urine, how much urine there must be, this in the sugar, there's different things I have to know. You cannot remember, you cannot even become a biology teacher. And some of you are not able to rise at all, because each exam, you couldn't remember, and you kept going down down and down and until you got a job where you don't have to remember anything.
Ah, what a job.
And some of you thought, I can be a pastor because that's when I don't really remember anything. Not true. Not true. Some of you didn't remember the one who laid hands on you. Some of you don't remember the one who cared for you, who led you to Christ. Up to today, I remember the lady who helped me to know God and helped me to have my quiet time. I dedicated my book to her. She's a very precious and important person in my life. She taught me Christianity. She took me to church, first church, bought my Bible for me, sat me down, taught me how to have my quiet time. Hey, some of you are the most ungrateful, wicked people that anybody can ever care for. Yeah. You will never remember anything. And it keeps on taking you down the way you can't remember things in exam. Take you down. It's the same thing. It keeps on lowering you. Lowering you. Yeah. So, demotion. Number two, the next evil that befalls people who forget is murmuring. They fall into murmuring. You see, the children of Israel, they went to, what do you call it, Israel. They went out of Egypt. And, I mean, they walked to the Red Sea. Red Sea. And there they forgot how they had walked to the Red Sea. How God had taken them, fed them with manna, supernaturally defeated Pharaoh. And 10 times they kept on complaining, murmuring. You know, people who murmur and complain, they are the most dangerous people you can have in your life. Yes. I'll prefer to have a fornicator around me than a murmurer. Wow. If I have to choose between the two. If I have to choose between the two, I'll choose a fornicator than a murmurer. A murmurer is an emergency. Yes. True. I prefer. And somebody is complaining bitterly. I tell you, they wanted to kill Moses. They wanted to take over. Are you listening to me? So, murmuring and complaining is one of the very dangerous things that a person can do. They murmured about Moses all the time. And the third danger and evil that befalls people who murmur is that they are rejected. And God rejected Israel and rejected them from coming into the promised land. And number four, they become disloyal. Amen. They become disloyal and turn against their God. So people who forget are very, very dangerous people. Actually, I would say that it is the sin that leads to treachery. It's the sin that leads to disloyalty. It's the unrighteousness of forgetting things that are done in your life. It opens you up to many, many, many evils. Are you listening to me? So, you must be careful. Every time you see somebody murmuring, you must know that this person is exposed to evil spirits. Those evil spirits are the spirits of death that kill. And you can easily die in the wilderness. And your destiny will not be fulfilled. Most of the people who complain, your destiny is cut short. The destiny of the Israelites was cut short. Finish. Sorry. No more. Promised land is over. Finish. No more promised land. Sorry. So we are going to... No. It's not coming on anymore. It's not coming on. Your destiny is cut short. Your future is abridged. Your ministry is truncated. Your ministry is abbreviated. And is cut short. Some of you, you can never become an evangelist because of criticism that you criticize me. Yes. You'll never become an evangelist because of what you said about me. When you heard about me coming here. True. And some of you can never prosper in the ministry because of comments you make about me. You open your mouth to criticize and to murmur. Why? And this is what you've done about Benny Hinn, about somebody's marriage, about your pastor, about the church, about anything that is being done. You are the number one speaker, or like a speaker of parliament, or a speaker of an evil parliament that speaks about things you don't understand and you don't know. Even when I tell you the cost of the crusade, you can't even believe it. If you like, come and we work it out step by step from now till we finish. You see, small, when you can't even, when they even tell me the budget, I don't even want to see their faces anymore. I drive them out of my presence. It's true. Some of us cannot raise funds because when somebody raised funds, you spoke about it. Your destiny, your ministry is cut, is made small. Some of you don't know your ministry was supposed to be bigger if you hadn't only criticized. You see, the criticism, in Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking praises, psalms, hymns to the Lord. So just as when you speak praises and worship and psalms and hymns to the Lord, you are filled with the Spirit. When you speak criticisms and murmuring, you are filled with evil spirits. That is why the Israelites died from it. Because the spirit of diseases, the spirit of death, the spirit of cutting short of your destiny is drawn to you by the words of critical words, murmuring, complaining, maligning, backbiting, and complaining about God's anointed servant and the way he is going about things. You want to dare to speak about Ray McCauley? You're speaking about him in your room? Why? What have you done for God? What have you done for God since you believed in Jesus? I want to just ask you, what have you done for God since you believed in Jesus? And you are not speaking about somebody's marriage. Have you ever been in such a marriage before? Huh? Why do you talk about things you don't understand? You are making things difficult for yourself. You are truncating your ministry. You are truncating your destiny. You are cutting short your life and all the future great things that God has for you. You are drawing evil spirits. You know, one day, I had a vision. I was in Korea. And I was lying on the floor in a hotel, sleeping. And then suddenly, I found myself walking along a path, beautiful long path, with two friends, one on my left, one on my right. Please come, Pastor. One on my left, one on my right. Stand here, please. We were walking together and we were talking. I was talking to the pastor, we were chatting. Then I suddenly turned to one of them and I said something negative about a man of God. A great man of God. I said, why is he doing this and this? And we continued talking and walking. Then suddenly, as soon as I said those words, I heard something far away, but I heard it. It's like the movement of an animal. You know, in South Africa, you know what a warthog is. It's something like an animal like that. Far away in the mountain. It started coming from up in the mountain, down to the plain. And the plane was very long, and you walk all the way, winding path, and was coming. I was walking. I became conscious of something is coming. But these people, they were happy. They were chatting. They were laughing. We were talking. They were happy. But I was realizing that something is coming. Then I turned around, and I saw it was coming. It never ran throughout the vision, never even three steps, just steadily. You see, when you draw certain things to you, they come steadily. It will not run. It will just steadily coming. And it walked like that.
until at a point I turned around and it was right there, right in front of me. And I was like, what is this? Then the animal jumped like this into my chest, jumped like that, and entered me. And I screamed and I woke up. I was on the floor. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, every time you open your mouth to speak against my servant, like Miriam, she spoke against Moses, you draw evil spirit, you draw death, you draw sickness, you draw evil, you draw things to come to you. You see, when Miriam opened her mouth and spoke against Moses, she got leprosy immediately. She drew that spirit of death. Leprosy is called the living dead. Living dead. Living dead. When the Israelites complained, Moses, we should have, we had cucumber, we had leek, we had tomatoes, we had this in Egypt. Why do you bring every one of them died, whether by accident, by snake bite, by cancer, by high blood pressure, by coma, by stroke. It, all of them, it was like an army of spirits descended on them. This one happened to those who forget. Oh yeah. Some of you don't know. You don't even remember the one who led you to Christ, brought you to church, introduced you to certain people. Where would you be today? Those who forget. They are very dangerous. You know, when they are even leaving you, they don't even say goodbye. And so, he has done nothing for me. Or this person is whatever. He preached to you. He prayed for you. He laid hands on you. He led you around. He advised you. That is nothing. That is nothing to you. And you see, human beings sin naturally. If you don't teach it, they will always forget. They will forget what you've done for them. You have to tell them that those who forget, it is unrighteousness to forget. You must teach people how to remember and to practice remembrance. If you don't teach it, you think they will naturally remember after you've done so many good things for them. They will not remember. That's not how human beings are. Human beings are wicked and unrighteous. There is none righteous, the Bible says. And one of the unrighteousness is forgetting. People don't remember anything. You don't remember anything. You don't remember anything. That's why airports are named after people. That's why statues are made. That's why memorials are made. Because people don't remember anything. That's why people... One time I told them, write my name on the sign and put it on the chair that I'm the pastor or the founder. I said, make it in bronze and put it there. Yeah, they keep coming. They forget who is the pastor of the churches or who is the founder of the church. Oh yeah, I said write it. I told them. It wasn't organized by people. I told them. I said write it. It's not because I feel big, but I know the unrighteousness, the wickedness of people. They forget. Oh yeah. Those who forget. Thank you, gentlemen. Are you still here or you are going home? People who forget repeat mistakes. That's the fifth evil. Yes. Daniel chapter 3 verse 17. Thou, his son Belshazzar, hast not humbled thyself. You know? He says, thou king gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, majesty and glory. And for the majesty he gave him all people, he kept him alive. But when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and until he knew that God ruled in the kingdom of men. And thou, his son Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, and thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of hosts. Amen. Are you there? Now, Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up in pride, and God sent him to the forest to go and eat grass for 7 years. He was saying, moo, 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 as a king. And his son was there. He said, look at my father. Moo, moo. When he calls daddy, King Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years he spoke as an animal. Go and read your Bible. He had a special disease where he thought he was an animal. And his son saw it. And his son forgot about it. He said, though thou knewest this, you lifted up yourself in the same way that your father did. So what happens is that when you forget things, you don't, that's why biographies are important. You repeat the same mistakes that were made by others or by yourself. The same mistake. So remembrance is very important because it helps you not to repeat the same mistakes. Yeah. So when you despise somebody, you can't learn anything from the person. And the mistake the person made, you are now going to make those same mistakes. All right? So remembering is very, very, very important in guiding you in your ministry. 8 common, more common mistakes that make people who forget make. 1, they dishonor founders and fathers. Founders and fathers are often forgotten. Ham forgot that his father had built an ark. A big ark. He was in it. Is that not so? And he forgot how he got into the ark. And that there was nothing before, and he would have drowned. Ham forgot. So many people forget fathers and founders. They don't know. That is why in Galatians 6:6, all right, we teach, the Bible says, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. So in my church, I teach them to remember me and honor me on Galatians 6:6 Sunday. We don't even call it pastor's appreciation. We call it Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught, the one who is taught in the word, communicate or share with the one that teacheth in all good things. If you do that in your church members will be forced to remember that you teach them. And they'll be forced to remember that you are important in their lives. And they'll be forced to acknowledge and not forget, go astray, that you are being taught by them. When somebody reads your book, he is being taught by you. And it is your duty in Galatians 6 says, to communicate to the one who teaches you in all good things. If you are more righteous than God, you can set aside that principle. But you will see, a church you cannot control. A church you cannot tell anybody what to do. You cannot say go. You cannot say come. You cannot advise. You cannot sit down. You cannot. You see, yesterday I was struggling to tell them, stay. Do not go out. Stay in the crusade. Don't move out. And you see, people were still moving out until the last group decided to stay. But it's a struggle. God, they are not. The people cannot be made to obey. We do what we want to do. Here we do what we want to do. Yes. You have to teach the people. You see, teach people to remember. Yes, teach people to remember. Yeah, don't teach people to black out things. Black out the memories of things. Teach them to remember things. Teach them to don't black things out. Don't black out what the white man has built for you in South Africa. Don't wipe it out of your mind. The roads you have, the networks, the highways. There's nothing like bridges. There's nothing like that anywhere in Africa at all. It was not built by you. You know it. You know it. Don't black it out of the... When you black it out, you repeat mistakes that you shouldn't make. You should rather move ahead, not go back and come back again. Like you go back another 100 years and then start coming forward after 100 years when you've learned everything that you shouldn't have forgotten. That's what happened to Ghana. Yes. People who forget become proud. Yes. David said to Michal. Michal, the daughter, said, "How glorious was the king of Israel who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids. Huh? How can you do that?" And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler. Therefore will I play before the Lord." Wow. A lot of people become proud when they are going to get married. And this is now the ministry. In the normal world, it's different. In the ministry. Any of these, are you all married? Are you all married here, pastors? You all married here? Yeah. You wait, if your wife dies, you see you become hot cake in the church. People say, "Wow, who is going to marry Pastor Samuel? Who is going to marry Pastor John? Wow, who is he going to choose? Wow." And you see the sisters in the church praying, "Oh Lord, speak to him. Show him that I'm here. Lord, I'm right here. Lord, I'm here. Lord, tell him that I'm here. Speak to him, Lord." True or not true? True or not true? Oh Lord, please. Lord, this morning, during the praise and worship, I'm going to go dance in front. Touch his eyes, Lord. That he may see me. That he may see me.
And then when it's time for praise and worship, "He is Jehovah, our God Almighty. He is Jehovah." Then you come dancing. Pastor is standing there. Shandalabalaba. And then he starts to look with the left eye. Wow. Wow. I said, Lord, you are moving. Lord, you are moving. Yeah. I know one desperate sister. Yeah. She saw the church. Her husband, the pastor, was not married. She joined the church. After joining, I think she became an usher or she became whatever, but he wasn't noticing. So after that, she decided to join the praise and worship. And he wasn't still noticing. So she decided to join the dancers in front. And she came dancing. Still, the pastor didn't see her. Then she decided, let me go and propose to him directly. Say, "Look, pastor, listen. Let me be clear. Let me be plain. Somebody that I know. Somebody I know. So, pastor, I choose me. You wait. You see how. Take me.
Please, pastor. I will love you. I'll do everything. I will massage you with Italian massage." Pastor, I will give you Spanish omelette. I'll give you Afghanistan sex. Huh? Wow. What I'm saying, is it true or is it not true? And then, if he marries you, after he married you for some time, he forgot how desperate you were. And how you were praying. And how it was a privilege. One wife, she told her husband, swine. She said, swine. Swine. Bushman. Swine. I regret marrying you. Who are you? Are this bushman. This tricking to help husband. Bushman. This and that and whatever. You are this. People don't know who you are. I know you. I stay with you. I know who you are. Hey. But before she was married, she was in the church praying. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healed thee. Dancing. Now, swine. Listen, one pastor, he told me, he married one and he married a second one. He told me, look, my second wife, every day she says to me, thank you for marrying me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for... I never thought I would be married. But you chose me. Thank you for choosing... The first one, swine! Hey! You see, because she has forgotten how she that she is nothing. And the man came to choose her out of all the sisters. Because there are more women than men. And in the church, there are more committed good Christian sisters than good committed brothers. By far. You will not even get one even to marry. In Ghana, we say it's an onapos. You won't even get. Now that you are the queen and the madam, you have made yourself what we call a queen of confusion. Queen of confusion of the house in the marriage. Me, I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care at all. I'm just preaching. Yes. Preaching the word of God. And you know what I'm saying is true. You know it. Yeah. Become big. Look at Vashti. Vashti. The king was having a party. And the wife was also meeting with the wives of the other kings. That is why a lot of churches have stopped women's movements and meetings. He called them and said, come. We're having a women's meeting. Hey. Come and show how beautiful you are. I like your, you know, this part is big. I like the way it's big. Come and show the visitors. She just turned and said, stupid man, swine. you get up and you call, I should come and walk around. You think I'm one of those silly girls? You should see pastors in their bedrooms trying to have sex, trying to touch them.
Darling.
Yeah, you see them manifesting. You think I'm one of those, whatever. Wow. Yeah. Those people you see on pornography, they are professional and they are being paid. I'm not a prostitute. I can't do that. You want me to bend? I can't bend over. One day I met a pastor's wife. The husband was struggling with her. You see, I'm talking about pastors, so that's why if I'm not a pastor, I don't know why you are here. This is not Christianity. I'm not talking about Christianity. Don't take it out of context. Don't take it out of God. Don't say I'm saying things against women. I'm talking about type of marriage. Yeah. Pastors and senior pastors. I met with one pastor, his wife. Hey, he said, when I want to do things with my wife, a lot of negotiation, as if it's an arms deal. I said, did you have boyfriends before you married? Yes, Pastor. Were you jumping up and down like a frog with those boys? He said, yes, I was. Were you like an acrobat or a gymnastics specialist? He said, yes, I was. Were you sucking his penis? I was sucking all their penises, different ones. And then I said to her, and I took off my ring, and I said, did any of them put a ring on your finger? Any of those boys put a ring on your finger? She said, no. No. I did Kosovo sex. Do you know Kosovo? Afghanistan sex. Baghdad. Different styles. None of them put a ring on your finger. But the man who put a ring on your finger, you say, I should bend over. What do you take me for? To bend over? Am I a prostitute? And you are now arguing. It has become a negotiated settlement. None of them put a ring on your finger. I took my ring off my shoulder. Did any of them put a ring on your finger? None of them. The one who gave you his name and married you and is so committed, he will never leave you or even ever touch any other woman. This is how you behave towards him. Look at it. Christian pastors. That's Vashti. The husband said, come and walk. What? Stupid. What do you mean? I should come and walk. Am I a child? I should come and say, what? You should see them in the house. One lady, she made a ring. It's all in my new book, you see. She made a ring like this. Sex, no sex. A wheel that you spin like this. The arm is here. So when it goes round, sex. And the sex was very small like this. And the no sex was all. She was wearing her glasses. As her husband was naked, asking, please, can I have? She said, spin the wheel. No sex chance. Too bad. Sorry. Then, on the 15th of November, it was his birthday. He spinned the first one. No sex. He said, it's your birthday. You can spin twice. It's your birthday today. You can spin twice. Hey! Even my security guards are laughing. Those who forget, Hey. Number three, those who forget can easily be divorced. The best way to help you to stay married is to look at your picture when you were getting married. Some of you were lean like cancer patients before you got married. Yes, you were like a tuberculosis patient when your wife married you. She had faith. Faith. Faith is the assurance of things not seen. She couldn't see your handsomeness, but she had faith that you will be handsome one day. Hey! And now you want to leave her. Are you listening to me? Next one. People who forget become second-rate ministers. Second-rate ministers. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. It says, for if these things, verse 8, if things, these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see far, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Amen. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If these things be in you, look at verse 8 again, please. I want you to really take note of something here, especially, you know, this is perhaps the most important point, and I'm going to be ending this particular area on those who forget with this point, that when you forget, your ministry drops and changes. It's very important not to forget. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful. Now, many pastors are unfruitful and are barren. Why? Because the reason is in verse 9. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, verse 9, and has forgotten that he was purged. So people who become barren and unfruitful in Christ are usually people who are either blind or cannot see far or have forgotten many things. Now, when I preach at a crusade, sometimes for some people it sounds like it sounds like it's like these are just simple stories about Jesus. But you see, you must not forget how salvation comes to people. You see, when you forget how salvation comes to people, you realize that you cannot even preach salvation. I mean, as a minister of the gospel, you can't take a Bible verse and teach or preach about salvation, pure salvation, because all you are teaching is about prosperity and money. Yes, Many pastors, if I put them on the stage and they preach salvation, beyond salvation, you see that it will turn into a prosperity blessing service. Because that is what you know how to do. And the basic gospel has been forgotten. When I sing a song, I say, read your Bible, pray every day. It's not a children's song. The basic for Christians is to read their Bible and pray every day. And when you set aside these things and you even seem to forget that is how you even came to be sitting here today, is by reading your Bible and praying every day, then you forget to transmit the same thing to others. Then you ask yourself, what are you teaching others? That is why you have Elijah giving birth to Elisha. Elisha having double the anointing of Elijah. But Elisha giving birth to Gehazi, which is a covetous man who never catched the anointing and the spirit of his father. So what is happening is that we are actually giving birth to Gehazis. The ministries are giving birth to Gehazis. We are not producing sons. And the reason is because we are feeding them what we were not fed. We have forgotten what we were fed. We have forgotten how you came to be who you are. You came to be who you are not by listening to money, money, money every day. You came to be who you are by hearing the real word of God about righteousness, holiness, love, patience, Christianity, and all those things. That is how you became you. That you've forgotten how you became you. And you've forgotten how you came to even know Christ. And you've forgotten that you heard that Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood for us. It sounds too basic to you. But what it is that you've forgotten. You know, one time I met a pastor who always preaches about money. And I asked him, I said, look, every time I see you on television or your church, whatever, you're always sharing about money, money, how to get money, how you can be there. So I asked him that, when you were in your country, growing up as a Christian, is that what you were taught? He said, no. I said, what were you taught? His first word was discipleship. He said, I was taught discipleship. I don't know what it means by discipleship. Discipleship and other Christian virtues. Then I said, then why don't you teach those things also? You see, because when you forget, you become a second-rate minister. And somebody become a modified kind of minister. It's almost like what you were brought up on, you need to graduate out of it. How can you graduate out of the word of God? How can you graduate and mature out of the gospel? Most pastors are amazed when I'm preaching the gospel at a crusade. They find it amazing. True or not true? Yeah. That is why I have made this product available, by the way. What is it called? The Evangelist. I don't see it here. I see it. This one, The Evangelist. It contains 200 sermons. Like what I preach about all dead people are still alive. And all those different sermons. Audio. Just a message. Yes. It's called The Evangelist. It's audio. Crusades. It will be a blessing to you. Pastors must know how to preach the gospel. Otherwise, you are changing. You know, look at us in the ministry. Our ministries are rather going down. Look, Sunday morning, it's not easy for a church like this to be full. Sometimes you see a church like this, when you come on Sunday, you see just a few people here. This is how many churches are. Oh, it's not true. Yeah, you may even see a big building, but it's not many people come. Many churches are going down. And other religions are going up. And it's happening whilst we are degrading in ministry and becoming a lower grade of ministry. Because we have forgotten how we came to be where we are, or even that we know Christ. And that to forget that that is the way somebody will also know about God. And that is why somebody may preach and it sounds like the person is preaching basics. But what do you mean by basics? What do you mean by basics? What are basics? Basics are what make you. And that is what the person deserves to hear also. So we need to not forget how we came to be where we are. It comes by Bible reading. That is why when I come, you know, to in the ministry, look, I'm not somebody who has had seen Jesus before, like talking to me physically. It's what I want, but I haven't had it yet. And when I have it, you hear of it, unless he asks me not to say, but you hear of it. It will be my story every day. I'll say, you know, on the 12th of April, Jesus appeared to me. He said this. I will say it every day. Unless he says I shouldn't say. So I can see how ordinary I am. And I'm always trying to help you to rise to become an anointed minister. Sometimes when I'm doing the work of God, I laugh to myself. Because it is funny to me that God is using me. Because I know that God shouldn't really use me. He's look at he's using me, and it's so funny to me because I know that I'm nothing. Look, I've never been appointed before even to be a class prefect. Yes. No one ever chose me for anything. I was born without gifts. Class prefect, school prefect, assistant prefect, even the one who wipes the blackboard monitor, I've never been appointed. Yes. Some of you have been appointed for so many things. Committees, this, that, nothing. But God has had kindness and shown kindness to me. To use me. And so I'm sharing with you that God can use you too. If you are prepared to walk the road and learn certain things. How many are prepared to learn some of those things? And that's why I'll be sharing with you how I came to be anointed. Yeah. If you look at most of my books, you'll see that it's how to do something. How to do something. How something is done. Yeah. How to build the church. How to become anointed. When we talk about the anointing, where are these books? The anointing. Help me with the books on anointing. Yeah. That is what you need. What is the anointing? The sweet influence of the anointing. I have a whole camp on this book, which I also preached when I went to Siberia in Russian. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a sweet influence which you can't even, you're not even aware that it's happening. Yeah. When it's happening, you don't even know that it's happening. Yeah. Yeah. You can't know. You know, I used to think that the anointing was, how many know that feeling? Like if you fasted, like by the evening, there's a feeling you have in your stomach, and I used to feel that that was the anointing. And you know how that was broken? Was when I went to Colombia to preach. When I went there, first of all, it was during our fasting time. And I never go out. I never used to go out during the fasting time. But I was forced to go because the program was during the fasting time. And when I got there, I had to eat. And they were serving filet mignon. Do you know filet mignon? Yeah, it's a special, nice filet mignon. They were serving, that was what the restaurant was serving, the hotel in that city in Colombia. And I had lunch. And I was preaching in the night. I normally would not do that. I'll fast. Hey! Can you imagine if I'm fasting like this one? We, every day we are preaching. Now, I'll not eat. But I ate. And I said, oh, I'm finished. When I ate, I know that God has left. God has left now. The anointing is over. How many have felt that before? Like God has migrated. And then I went to the crusade. And I was this speaker. I was invited to speak. Actually, I wasn't the speaker for the whole crusade. But when I spoke the first night and I prayed for the sick, the interpreter told me that you are now the speaker for every day. Yeah. I wasn't the speaker for every day when I was just like one night. The guy said, you are the speaker now. Every day. In Spanish. He said, this is what has happened. They just said, no, you have to continue. Miracles. The first day. Miracle. Every day was different. Some one day was cripples. Like the whole stage was lined up with wheelchairs 15 years ago. The second day. So the second day I said, the filet mignon has really worked wonders. No. Yeah. The filet mignon has worked. So I said, I'm going back for more filet mignon. I ate the filet mignon every day. Today was blind as seen. Tomorrow this. The next one dead, they are raised. Every day. When I finished, all the soldiers, I was being guarded by a team of about 15 soldiers with machine guns. It was a very dangerous time in Colombia. Yeah. All of them said, we have never seen anything like, we want to give our life to Jesus Christ. Even in the evening, all the soldiers were with me. Even in the evening. Even in the hotel. When I, out of my window, they are sitting here. All of them there. Yeah. It was very scary. I was in a bulletproof car. Yeah. So many miracles. They brought dead. They brought dead. When the dead was raised, the next day, they brought more dead people for me to raise. Hey! The ambulances that were parked on the field, it's like all the cars outside are ambulances. Wow. Colombia, I'm telling you, I was not there alone. Hey! And that is when I realized that the anointing is not that stomach feeling that I have been having, but it's something else that I can't feel. It's the sweet influence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! So my friends, I want to encourage you to catch the anointing. And you come under a certain influence. You do things. Later on you realize you did something great. Catching the anointing. Why the anointing? Why the Spirit of the Lord? Because if you read Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. It said, and there shall come a stem out of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of might, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord shall rest upon him, and make him of quick understanding. Like you understand things quickly. Quickly before it's time for you to die. Quickly before it's over in your life. Quickly before it's over in your ministry. Quickly before the time is up in your life and your ministry. Quickly enough for you to do something with it. It's not about understanding when you are about to die. It's about quick understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings. And so you realize that when you are receiving the Holy Spirit, you are receiving the Spirit of, number one, Spirit of wisdom. Jesus said wisdom. You know, when Jesus came to this world, in Mark chapter 6 verse 2, the people exclaimed and said, what wisdom is this? What wisdom is this that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Mighty works are a result of the Spirit of wisdom. That is why these books, you see, wisdom is a way of thinking. It's a way of analyzing. And these books, you see that there's a wisdom to deal with this. And this is that spirit of wisdom. All many people. This is the spirit, the anointing, which I'm not even aware of, because it's not a feeling in my stomach. It's a sweet influence. Causes all this type of wisdom and a type of knowledge and a type of understanding. A way of understanding issues. I tell you, everybody understands things differently. I say something, somebody sees it as a joke. I say something, somebody sees it as an insult. I say something, somebody gets angry. Different reactions to the same thing. And that's why God wants to make you of quick understanding. He wants to give you a spirit of understanding. That you will see that I just love you. That as I'm standing here, giving this, somebody think I'm doing business. Somebody see that, oh, this man loves us. Somebody said, why is he telling it like this? Somebody see that this is a blessing. Different people understand things differently. Somebody will say, I have to get this. Somebody say, oh, I don't need this. Somebody say, I see this, I don't need that. Everybody thinks differently. But you are becoming wise today in Jesus' name. And it is the wisdom you have that makes you what you are. What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? Or, I like the Matthew 13 one. It says, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get it from? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. Counsel is like advice. When somebody gives you advice, say, do this. Do this. Counsel is advice. You know, this. Do this. It's counsel. It's a spirit of counsel, advice. You are blessed if you even ever get just one word about your life or ministry from somebody who really knows, be able to tell you, do this or do that. In your whole life and ministry, whether somebody can even speak a word to you like he's really giving you advice. It's rare. Many people don't have counsel. Many people don't have anyone to say, do this, dress like this, sing this. Don't sing that. Speak like this. It's called counsel. Yeah. All these books, even this book, you know, one time one pastor said, we don't have money in our church. I said, look, I gave him this book. I said, this is the book. It's the only book. You know, I've written many books. This is the only book that had a vision, a dream. God told me to write this book about tithing. Not prosperity, tithing. Is the number one prosperity book for churches and pastors. I told him, do what I do. Share it to your church. Read it to them and teach them page by page. If you do data, if you do science, like we teach in the mega church book, you see that your income will go like this. Many of us, our incomes are low. Low. Low, 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 low. Ah, it's too bad. This is wisdom. Yes, what wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? But you see, pastors, rather you go and get a loan from the bank. Because we are following the worldly system. When you see God's way of raising money and God's method of financing his work. I once went to a church, you know, the church, first of all, they didn't take offerings. Yeah. After church, they fed everybody. Everybody who came to church, they gave them food in the evening. The pastor said, oh, we only take tithes and offerings on Sundays. A very rich church. He said, everybody in my church pays tithes. And when I preach, he gave me one of the highest offerings I've ever received as a Christian. Oh yeah. And they didn't take offerings. They didn't 2 days I preached, no offering. Just food for everybody. Tithes. He said, everybody in my church pays. If you are a member, you pay tithes. Yeah. That's it. But you see, people look at it and they despise wisdom. And you know how I assess when I leave a place, I always ask them, Did the people get the books? Did they appreciate? You can see the level of perception and understanding from their interest in books or even the materials to receive. Because a pastor's greatest gift is a book. It's a book. Why? How do we know God? Through the Bible. By reading. These books are about Bible verses. There's nothing else about it. It's only Bible. Yes. It's only about the Bible. A pastor's greatest gift. Holy Spirit is telling me to introduce you to this. I don't know if they have them. Do you have these new books or not? So I don't waste my time. Anyway, they are there. You can get it on Kindle. A good general. The anointed and his anointing. What it means to be as wise as a serpent. Yeah. Powerful. Amen. Listen. What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? So when you are not doing mighty works, it means you don't have a certain wisdom. You see, the mighty work of coming to have crusades here is a mighty work. Everywhere we go, we say, we've not had this before. It has never happened before. It has never happened in the history of this town, in the history of this city. This is the first time. We've never had this. Almost everywhere we've gone, there are mighty works. Just to come is a mighty work. Not even to have the program, but to come is a mighty work. Just to arrive. True. Try arriving somewhere. Let's see whether you can arrive. Without debts. Without loans. Without mortgages. Without monthly payments. What wisdom is this? Yes. What wisdom is this? That's why I'm always sharing with people. I don't believe in... I'm sharing with people because I believe God wants to use you. Yesterday I saw it in a vision. South Africans preaching, building churches in different countries, in different places. I saw it. What you need is to feed on that wisdom. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. Revelations. Revelation chapter 10. Chapter 10, please. Revelations. And I saw a mighty angel. Wow. Come down from heaven. With a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had, read it for me.
And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are.
Read verse 8.
Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Wow.
And he said unto me, wow, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Wow. This Revelation chapter 10 will explain to you what a book is going to do in your life. A little book. The whole of chapter 10 is the only thing that the chapter is about. I saw a big angel, 1 foot here in the sea and one foot on the land in PE and one in the sea. Can you imagine how tall this angel was? Huh? Must be very tall. And what was the angel bringing? A little book. Now, what did the angel tell the man? Go and take the little book that is in the man's hand. So God sends angels to bring us things. And one of the things that God sends angels to bring us are books. Me, I work with angels. Angels are in my life, very active. They do many things. And if you have time, we don't have time for that. But there are things that angels do. And if you are a Christian, you have to believe. One of the things, you may not see, or you may see the angel. But one of the things that angels do are to bring books to ministers. Books. Books. Look, somebody put a book in my hand by Kenneth Hagin many years ago. And I read it. Little book. When I read it, I said, wow. What other book has he written? You see, I remember how I became what I am doing. That is why I make the books like that. Because when you read and it's a blessing to you, the next question is, what other book is there? Yeah. God is leading me to do how I became who I am. To share with others. I'm just sharing with you. You will ask, what other book is there? Then I received the book that was free. And most of the things, I didn't have money. So I also believe that people who don't have money should be able to have these things. Even if you don't have money. That is why it is the way it is. Because even if you don't have money, you should have it. Because that is what will make you. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge and counsel and understanding will make you into something different. Yes. So then, the angel said, take this book, eat it. So he ate it. Eating means not reading. When you eat something, like if you eat rice, okay, or spaghetti, whatever you eat, chisanyama, it becomes part of your meat. It goes into your body and it joins your body. Then it becomes you. That is why some of you can't recognize what I'm preaching. But actually, what I'm preaching is not original. What I'm preaching is so much a part of me that it sounds like it's like something wonderful, original coming from me. But there's nothing original. Because it is what I have eaten. Not read, eaten.
Wow.
And it's become part of me. So when I preach, it sounds original. Then he said, eat the book. Most of us don't eat books. If you have a book like this, you can finish reading it in a day. But that is not eating. That's not the same as eating. You read it and read it and read it and read it. Especially a book like this, The God's General. Or what it means to be as wise as a serpent. They are wonderful blessings. God's General. It's, you try it. It will be sweet in your mouth, but as you go, it will be bitter. And then, after you've eaten, what is going to happen in your life? Look at the last verse. 10. The last verse. Revelations. Put it back, please. Revelation chapter 10, the last verse. Then you must prophesy, you see, which is to preach. You prophesy again, isn't it? I ate it in my mouth. It was sweet. As soon as I eat it, my belly was bitter. The next verse, verse 11. And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many people. You see, some of you are talking to few people, but God is going to increase you to many people. When you swallow the material, when you swallow the book, you will start speaking to larger and larger and larger crowds. You now, because he said, now after you've now eaten these materials, you must now prophesy to many people.
Thank you.
See, what people don't know is that a book is a stepping stone to seeing many people. One time I had a vision. I came to, like, it was like a crusade. And I was entering, coming on the stage, like just how it is now. The stairs are at the back. When I took the first step on the stairs, coming up to the crusade, a man came to stand in front of me to block me. And I said, excuse me. Then, no. Then he fought with me. He didn't want me to go up on the stage. So at the point when I was fighting with this man, I held him, pulled him to the side and looked. When I looked, the crowd that I saw, vast beyond my eye could see, huge. And then I woke up and the Lord said to me, something is trying to prevent you from seeing the crowds and the many people that God has intended for you to see. And I shall bind that thing. And I tell you, many of us, there are many people that are waiting to see your face. And many people waiting to hear your voice preaching. But now you are not, some of you don't even preach. You don't even speak to anybody. Or you speak to just a few people, 23 people, 18 people, 67 people. I see you rising to many people, the rank of a many people prophet, prophesying to many people. That is going to be your testimony, and that is going to be your story. That will be how you will be described. Look, it takes the anointing for you to see a lot of people. If you don't have a certain anointing, you will not see people. You will see just small groups, fellowships and Bible studies and little groups. Yes, but when there is a certain anointing on you, you will be empowered to see large crowds. Receive that empowerment in the name of Jesus. And then, many tongues. The next one, put the verse back on, please, Mr. Man. Many tongues. Tongues. Many languages. You see, at first I used to be irritated by translations and interpreters. But after a while I realized that it takes something for you to ever be anywhere where there is a need for an interpreter. Yeah. Where in the world would you need an interpreter? You are only in your own area, among your own people. You never need an interpreter. But when God elevates your ministry, you will often, most of the time, you will need interpreter. Almost every message. You see that today you need a Korean interpreter. I was in the Philippines, I need an interpreter. I was in Indonesia, I need an Indonesian interpreter. I was in Japan, I need a Japanese interpreter. I was in Korea, I needed a Korean interpreter. I was in the north of Ghana, I needed 3 interpreters. The maximum interpreter, I'm waiting to have 4. The day I have 4, none of my people should ever prevent it. Those of you who stop things, never stop that 4th interpreter from coming. Because it is a prophecy. This verse is being fulfilled. This verse is being fulfilled. Many tongues. And when I speak, this one will interpret, second will interpret, third will interpret, and 4th will interpret before it's my turn again. Many tongues. Some of you have never even had a French interpreter before. You've never had the largest other language spoken in Africa is French. You've never needed, you are a minister, though. You've never needed a French interpreter in your life. You see, in Ghana, when we started having iron sharpeneth iron conference, and we now needed a French interpreter, I realized that the ministry had lifted to a certain level. But in Ghana, we never have doing interpretation. There's no French-speaking person there. It's only English. But now we needed French interpretation because they were coming from Mali, from Burkina Faso, from Cote d'Ivoire, from Benin, from Togo, from Congo, from Senegal, from Guinea, from Cameroon, all over for this conference. 6,000 pastors. Pastors. Yes. Receive the interpretation and the ministry to many tongues in the name of Jesus. Eish. The third one, you prophesy to before many people and nations. Nations. Some of you, you only prophesy in South Africa. Even Zimbabwe has never heard your voice before. Zimbabwe, just next door. Hey! But you see, when you receive certain books and you eat certain books, look, let me tell you something. Don't be angry. One of the influences, sweet and invisible, is to be invited. I'm telling you, to be invited. So please, can you come? When David was anointed, he was, first of all, one of the things is to be, questions to be asked about you, be inquired. Saul asked, who is that stripling? Who is that stripling? They called him a stripling, which means a young man. To be recommended. They said, there is a boy who is cunning. You'll be recommended. So, do you know this man of God? He is this. You remember somebody recommended me to you? You remember?
That's right.
Who is that?
Pastor Steve.
Yes. My friend Steve recommended me to him, to his church in London. That's how he invited me. I didn't invite him. And I didn't recommend myself to him. I didn't know him. I didn't say, I am great. I am powerful. You need me. Hey, you better call me to come. No. I was there. And he said, come to me. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I attended a meeting. I was invited. They are having the largest Pentecostal meeting in Brazil. Yeah, wealth, Pentecostal, Brazil, the day with the huge, they recommended, said, I should be the speaker for that. In Brazil, Portuguese. Yeah. In Korea, in Malaysia. So, I should be the speaker with Richard Roberts. I should speak, you speak. I was recommended in Japan. I speak, Yonggi Cho speak. We spoke together. I was asked to come back again, come back again, come back again. You see, the anointing will make people ask of you and say, who is this man? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. David was anointed. Chapter 15, 16, 17. That's it. They just asked, well, we need somebody. His talent, which was unknown, was now being asked for. So we need somebody with an instrument. So, call. Then suddenly this Goliath thing came up. And then he suddenly became known. So, who is that guy? So, he should become the armor bearer. Wow. And he was invited. Come to the palace. Come and stay here in the palace. Some of you have never been invited to any name. Malawi have never called for you. Botswana have never called for you. Madagascar have not seen. I was invited to Madagascar. I was asked to come. Can you come to Madagascar? Can you come to Madagascar? You went with me? Madagascar, yes. Receive the invitations that come from the anointing in the name of Jesus. Look, I'm showing you. Look, I don't want to be a second-rate minister. I want to remember how God brought me to where I am. And I'm trying to share with you the same thing through a book, through a tape, through listening to messages. This is how I came to be. Nobody ever recommended me. I say, look, I was born without gifts. I'm sure I didn't even have hair when I was born. It is just the anointing and the grace of God. I'm telling you. Who is that stripling? What is his name? The guy who plays the music. Who would have ever thought that music would be important? Who would have ever thought music would be important? music will be important. Look, can you believe when Samuel came to anoint somebody to be king, Jesse brought all the children and it's like, no, these are my children. The one who is not my child. Maybe they didn't like, I don't know whether he had some problem. I don't know. It's like, these are my sons. Eliab, Shammah. What is the other guy's name? Adonim something. These are my, and he brought all of them. Said, look, is that not another person? God said, look not on his countenance. Look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature. For God seeth not as man seeth. He said, for I've refused. I don't like this one. 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 I like this one. God will choose you. God will send you. God will put you in nations. God will say, I've chosen you. I've put you in places. I want you to speak my word. Speak to my people. You speak to my people. You speak to my princess. You speak to my bride. I don't want to be a second-rate minister. I want to remember how I came to stand here in Port Elizabeth today at a pastor's conference and at a crusade. I didn't just come out of the air. God helped me. God showed me. God lifted me. God gave me a book. God sent an angel. God sent somebody and showed me this book, this step. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to it. Hear it. Here I am today. I don't want to be a second-rate minister. I want to remember how I came to be here. Nations, you will prophesy to nations. I know I will see you in nations. I saw it yesterday on the stage. Give me a chair on stage. Put in one chair, one of these chairs on stage. I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. Always put a chair here, please, for me when I'm preaching. From today, put a chair on the stage, always, by the pulpit. I saw it. I saw it. You will be in nations. You will be in places. You stand and you say, wow, I would never have come to this country if it had not been for Jesus and the call of God and the anointing. I would never be here. Practically. To happen. He says you must prophesy to many people. Your days of preaching to just a few little fellowship groups is finished. You are being promoted and lifted to many people. You will speak to many nations. You will speak to many tongues with interpreters. You will need interpreters, translations. That's why, to me, that this box is available in Chinese. This whole box is available in French. This whole box is available in Portuguese. This whole box is available in Russian. This whole box is available in so many different languages. Just like this. It's a miracle. It's a sign of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And finally, he says, you prophesy to kings. You know, when I saw this verse, I had never spoken to a president. When I saw this verse, one day the Holy Spirit whispered into my heart. He said, I'm going to make you to see kings. He said, me? I'm not a political type. I don't even do this NGO, this type of pastors who are like, they provide water, they provide electricity. I don't provide all these things. I just gospel. I'm just a gospel man. Then I started to see them. I started to meet them. I started to talk to them. Recently, I was in a president's house. He said, to what honor do I owe? What honor do I owe this? Me! He said, what honor do I owe this? Sat down. Talk to us. 3 hours. The other day I was in Asia. I was with a billionaire. He said, oh, so and so is my friend. He took his phone, called the president of a certain country. Speak to him. Then I was chatting with him. I see him on television. I was chatting with him. When are you coming to our country? He said, oh, I'm coming. This, that, that, that. Bye. Back to the billionaire. A book. I said, read it. It says, you will prophesy again. Did you hear me? I said, you will. Your voice will be heard by many people, by many nations. many tongues, different languages, and even the kings will consider it an honor. Yes. The day the president of Mali gave me a car when I was leaving. It's funny to me. All these things are funny to me because I'm not this ceremonial people. He gave me a car. No, you don't pass through the airport to check in, just a car to the plane. Yeah, with one seat. And the security person, special aid, was so, I don't know why he was putting, move everybody away, not knowing that he had the last plan. When we got to the foot of the plane, he turned to me, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. A Muslim, but bless me before you go on the plane. Just me. He had made sure that everybody was wiped out. He was the only person with me. You will see kings practically in your life and your ministry. Sit down, please. Sit down. I do not want to be a second what? And what is the second rate minister? He has forgotten how he became what he is. That is what many of us, we've forgotten salvation. When I'm singing, read your Bible, you are thinking to yourself, it's basic. You are thinking it's children's. It's not. That's how we came to be here. We've been reading our Bible and praying every day. How can it be a children's song? And listening to preaching. Listening. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44, quickly. Acts 10, 44. Acts 10. I don't want to forget the night. I'm preaching about those who forget. I don't want to forget the night in that city of Suhum where I was waiting on the Lord, praying. Hallelujah. And Acts 10:44 happened to me. He said, and while Peter, yet spake. 44, please. 10:44. Yes, doctor, read it.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
The Holy Ghost fell on who?
All them which heard the word.
Which did what?
Heard the word.
Heard. Hearing. Read Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2.
Read from verse 1.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee.
How many want God to speak? Then verse 2. Look at verse 2. Everybody notice verse 2.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me.
The Spirit entered into me when?
He spake
when
unto
he spake.
Me.
This is the reason why I have made these materials, especially this one, the Makane, because it contains preaching. I asked the Lord, you know, what is the most anointed part of my ministry, preaching? And he told me it is the camps. So I put the camps into this thing. It's called the Makane. People who know this thing are afraid of it. They say this thing is there's power in it. Makane. One architect told me, he said, I told him, are you listening? He said, I will not listen to it. I said, why? He said, if I listen to it, I'll be in the ministry. I don't want to be in the ministry. He said, I know, I don't want to listen to it. He said, I do not listen to it. I tried it and I realized that, no, I can't. Makane, Makane Extra, Makane Ion. Dr. Go, I do not want to be a second-rate minister who has forgotten that according to Ezekiel 2:2, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. I was kneeling down in that town, and as the tape was playing at 3 a.m., something jumped out of the tape. A and entered into me, and I heard a voice say, from today you can teach. And I'm teaching, I'm in Port Elizabeth, I'm teaching, you are here, you are pastors, you are men of God, I'm teaching 27 years later. Hey. And 11 million books later.
Wow.
I don't want to be a second-rate minister and forget how I came to be here. I need to know, Serena, whether you made this thing available with a registration. Is it going for registration as well? Yeah. Today, they are doing for the first time Makarios registration, which means if you register, to register has a meaning. You must register your name so that we can maybe send you a message or communicate with you later. If you don't want us to communicate with you, give a false address. That's all. Give a false number or somebody else's number. But I'm sure you would like to hear from us or get a magazine. I don't know what later. Invitation. If you register Makarios registration, you are going to get this. But it costs $250. They are also selling that one. You see it. It's $250. But just for the those who register, registration offer. Only for those who register. You'll get that for $50. Which is $1 for a book. And we have the Makarios registration also. We are introducing today. If you register, you do another registration for Makarios registration. You will get this, which costs $100. Actually, more than $100. You are going to get this for $25 for the Makarios registration. Yeah. Those who know will shout, "No, no, it's not possible." But it's true. Yeah. They cannot believe it. You see, they are all shouting that they cannot. It's not possible. What are we doing? But I know what I'm doing. I know how I came to be here. And I'm here to minister. I'm not doing business. I am here to minister. Get each and every one of these. You'll be surprised. One day, you'll be addicted to. You see that it is forming you and lifting you into a certain ministry. It is nothing. You know, those of you who are in the ministry, some of you go to America, you spend $1,000, $3,000, whatever. You know, this is nothing. Yeah. But it is for you. It is a blessing. Yes. Unbelievable. Get it? Why? I don't want to be a second-rate minister. I want to remember that the Spirit entered, read it, into me when He spake unto me. You see, that is when the anointing entered. Preachers listen to preaching and also watch preaching. Footballers watch football all the time. They see, they analyze, they even repeat, they play, they analyze what they do and what people do. Preachers and pastors and people in the ministry have to listen all the time. I have messages so many, and that's why we introduce you also to the podcast. Many of you, I want to introduce you to my podcast. It's my name. You go to podcast. He introduces every night. Podcast, you go to it. So you don't buy messages. All this conference will come to your phone free. You don't buy anything anymore. If you do the podcast, if you just do it on your phone, it's an app. If you use an Apple, you go to podcast and you search for Dyke Heward Mills. And you see Dyke Heward Mills podcast. But there's different ones. There's Dyke Heward Mills conference. When you see the conference, this conference, today's conference, is free. It just downloads on your phone. You see it has arrived. Free. You don't buy a CD. You don't buy anything. What? It's just a blessing. Yeah, nobody is doing business. If you want to do business, go and sell wood or iron rods or something. But we are not doing business here. It's the word of God we are doing. This is what we are sharing here. Do you understand? Yeah. If you don't use Apple phone, you use Google. Go to Google Play Store and search for Podcast Addict. You'll find it, then download it and search for my name. You will see there. Just get everything free. Then you listen to it again and again and again. You don't even have to record it. I see some of you are recording with your phones. It just comes onto your phone straight. The whole thing in quality. Even the music, everything is quality. I don't want to be a second-rate minister. A second-rate minister is somebody who has forgotten how he became what he is. He says, those who are barren and unfruitful are blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that they were perished from their sins. Forgetting makes you a lower
lowered, low-grade, second-rate minister. And that's why many of us have become second-rate ministers, because salvation is forgotten. Even the Christian songs we sing, we don't sing good Christian songs. The old songs that we used to sing, Power in the Blood of Jesus, How I Love Jesus, and what other songs? I have decided to follow Jesus. It's like, oh, those are child songs. Those are, you know, for children. And, you know, we are mature. You are backsliding, not mature. You are backsliding, not mature. Those who forget, it lowers you. It lowers you. You say, somebody was accusing me, said, as for Doug, he would know, he doesn't have revelation. He just preaches basics. I don't have revelation. I'm preaching basics. You have backsliding. That is why you see what I'm talking about as basics. If I don't have revelation, what are these books about? Formula to humility. This is the master secret to unmasking the invisible enemy. Because all our invisible enemy is pride. You know, when I preach, some of the preaching may be out of pride. I may say, I want to lock it up. But maybe it's pride. You can't even tell. It's a very dangerous thing that happens to all of us. And this book, Formula for Humility. The best book I ever read on humility was by Andrew Murray. Humility, Andrew Murray. And I hope this is the second best book.
Oh, yes.
On humility. Amen. What a blessing it will be. That's why I say, get the books, get the materials. The Holy Spirit is going to fantastically change you. Your life. How many believe that an angel has appeared in your life to give you a little book and put something in your hand? Yes. And you can do it. Register. If we don't mind, if you send somebody to register for your register, to come and register again. Oh, you can register. Or even use a false name. So fine, no problem. We want you to be blessed. Amen. And receive. Stand to your feet, please, for a moment. Jesus. Father, thank you for the blessing of your word today. Guide us to the anointing. Lift your hand and ask God to fill you with his mighty, mighty power. Mighty Holy Spirit. Mighty anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Balamashu, balana, 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 balana. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. Ramona Santa. Put your hand like this. Put your hand like this. Father, impart to everyone here a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of understanding, quick understanding, spirit of counsel, advice. Advise us, Lord, advise us. Give us a spirit of humility. Give us a spirit of holiness, that we may see how special we are to you. We give you praise. Father, we lift our hands and we say, fill us. Fill us. For you said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? Impart the Holy Spirit to everyone here. Receive it now. For the gift of God is given to you at this time. Now see yourself. See yourself running. See yourself running.
See yourself walking. See yourself walking. You are walking on. I see a river. And you are walking deeper into the river. Yea, what is this river? It is the river of the Holy Ghost. Yea. Yea. For only your toes were wet with this river. But now, now you are going in. I see the water rising. It's rising. It's coming up. Shango Sandala Bakaba. For it shall cover your knees. Yabakobala Sabara. It shall come to your waist. Yeah, don't be afraid. For some of you are scared. You're afraid to go deeper. You've had criticisms. You've had fears. But go on deeper. You shall not drown. You shall be blessed. Go on, go on, go on, go on. Begin to swim. Begin to swim in the rivers of the Holy Ghost. For the river of the Holy Ghost shall overwhelm you, shall overpower you, and shall take over your life, and shall replace you and your ugliness, your flesh, your flesh, your humanness shall be covered by this river. The river, 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 the river. It is what you are swimming in now. Walk in it, my son. Walk in it, my son. For your, the sound of your footsteps shall be heard. Arika Bosita Halvarika Balasa Palada. The sound of your steps shall be heard in nations, in places. Kamasambara that have called you to in churches, in places of field. You shall be called for. You shall be invited. Come to pass, for the river shall overwhelm you, they shall overpower you, they shall replace your humanness, they shall replace your flesh. Yeah, the spirit part shall be seen, the holy part shall be seen, the Holy Ghost part shall be seen. Receive that river now and walk in it. Maka Satola Bashanda Labaka Paribala Mama Bada Labaka. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For those who walk by faith, walk on faith, shall see great things that those who have no faith cannot see. Therefore, walk on. Believe what the Spirit impresses in your heart, but shall surely come to pass. According to the word of the Lord to you, he shall perform all these things. Receive it and thank the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen. Just a minute ago, I remembered Kenneth Hagin had a vision of Jesus. And Jesus told him something, among other things. He said, you've been doing a Bible study recently, and it keeps occurring to you. He said, that was me speaking to you. I was the one speaking to you. But you didn't know that what keeps occurring to you was me speaking to you. He said, I've been speaking the whole week. Many of us here, God is speaking to you. It looks like you are thinking. It looks like you are reading your Bible. It looks like you are listening to a message, but it's the Holy Spirit. Be open to the Holy Spirit. This is that. This is that. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they said, this is that. This is that thing. This is it. Receive it. Receive it. Walk in it. Be blessed in it. It's your new ministry. It's your new day. It's your new level. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Well, I believe that God is ministering. How many feel God is spoken to you somehow? I believe it. Now, yesterday I gave you some envelopes, and I want you to give an offering. And I want you to give an offering.